Discover the Book, a daily look into the life-changing truths of God's Word with Dr. John Barnett. Hello again, I'm your host, Brian Shoup, and it's my job to greet you in the name of the Lord and to make you feel welcome. We're delighted you decided to join us today. We are just reveling in this joyous Christmas season, and Pastor John has assembled some of his best Christmas messages for a special emphasis during these wonderful days. And today he's bringing the conclusion to a brand new look at an element of this familiar story. It's called, Which King Do You Follow? But just before he does, allow me to remind you of how you can contact us if you so desire. If you'd like to email a question or comment, our email address is radio@dtbm.org, and we love to hear what God is doing in your life. radio@dtbm.org. Or if you'd rather give us a call, our phone number is 866-815-2601. 866-815-2601. And once again, I invite you to visit our website, discoverthebook.org, and spend a little time checking it out. You can discover more about Dr. Barnett or about DTBM and all the ministry tools available here. One thing to look at, Pastor John has a daily devotional email that's absolutely free. Simply let us know you'd like to be included and we'll put you on the list. Discover the Book is written as one word, .org. Now let's get to the book, God's Word. Last time, John talked a bit about King Herod and the stark comparison to the tiny king that was born a mere 5 miles away, King Jesus. And if you were here, you remember how opposite the two were. And remember the phrase that God used to introduce this great ruler? The story begins, during the days of Herod. The man who had everything, power, wealth, every pleasure, that man had his entire life reduced to that little phrase, the days of Herod. Sobering, huh? Well, ready to see what other lessons are in the book for us today? Here to open the book for us is our teacher, Dr. John Barnett.
By bringing Jesus and King Herod together at the same time in history, God is revealing that he uses what seems to us to be the unimportant, the weak, the powerless, to accomplish the great. You see, Herod seemingly possessed absolute power, yet God shows through Christ he had the greatest power. And that's how God always seems to work. Only what's done for God will last. Only his kingdom is eternal. And life lived for self always perishes. An enduring legacy only comes by self-sacrifice and servanthood, not through self-seeking. And that simple lesson, Herod never learned. He did not know what self-sacrifice was. He did not know what a life of servanthood was like, and he didn't want to know it. And so nothing Herod lived for endured. He lost everything. Everything Christ lived for endured. He lost nothing. That's the wonderful message. 1 Corinthians 1 that we saw last time we were together says, God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. I'm going to show you a contrast between the mighty in earthly perspective, Herod, and the weak thing in earthly perspective, Christ. And the weak, Christ, puts to shame the mighty Herod. It says in 2 Corinthians 12, my strength is made perfect in weakness. This Christmas season, if you feel weak, overwhelmed with the activity, the burdens, the pressures, the deadlines, the expectations, the drain emotionally and spiritually and physically that's on you, then cheer up. Because when we're weak and we acknowledge that God's grace is sufficient, then we can be strong. I want to share with you a side-by-side comparison of the weak and the strong, of Jesus, the King of Glory, contrasted to Herod, who I like to call the King of Self. He portrays what a person living for self looks like. Listen to this contrast. In chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus was going to sleep in a manger where farm animals fed. He laid there, seemingly, from all appearances, weak, powerless. He had no earthly status. In reality, he had it all. Jesus possessed eternal power. He receives eternal glory. He holds unending authority. but he appeared to be weak. But in chapter 2, in the days, verse 1, as it says there, of Herod the king, Herod was constructing magnificent palaces. He appeared to have great strength. He wielded what seemed to be absolute power. And by every earthly measure, he had great status. He was among the great kings of the earth. All he lacked was what would outlive his brief life. He completely lacked any eternal status. See, Jesus had no earthly status, and Herod had no heavenly status. Which one's more important? Well, in the moment, earthly. But when you look at the big picture, Jesus was the only one that had true status. Jesus lived to honor God. Jesus lived to serve others. Jesus lived to fulfill his Father's will. Herod lived for Herod. Herod lived to do his own life. His own measure was all he lived for. He sought to satisfy himself. He only wanted to fulfill his own purposes in life, not the purposes of another. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of my Father. Herod said, I came to do my own will, and I want it now. What a contrast. Jesus, the Son of God, was perfect, sinless, and kind. As the most powerful of all on earth and heaven, kind in his rule. Herod, the king of the Jews, was wicked in his lifestyle and a cruel tyrant of a ruler. Jesus never sought power that the world could give. His power as God's Son was beyond comprehension, and he never exercised it to its fullest measure. Herod sought and found awesome earthly power, but he never sought nor found the power of God, the only power that could heal his sin-sick soul. By the way, he had everything, and he was the most dissipated and unhappy man on earth. I'm going to show you in just a moment. He was a colossal failure, one of the world's greatest failures. Jesus died on a cross in the agony of his love, surrounded by sorrowing and loving disciples. He chose to hang there to take away the sin of the world. Everything Christ had, he keeps forever. Herod died in the agony of a dissipated body, hated by his family, with the blood of many family members staining his hands that he had personally murdered, and everything that Herod had in this life, he lost forever. What a contrast. I wonder, who are you like this morning? I mean, I know that we aren't big kings, but I mean, in the big sense, are you like Herod, grasping for all you can get here? Your life revolves around you, and you're up when you get what you want, and you're down when you don't get what you want? Or are you like Christ, and your life revolves around sacrificing and serving and giving and doing the will of another, your Father in heaven? So in other words, are you going Herod's way or Christ's way? Jesus and Herod were opposites, morally, culturally, spiritually, and certainly in their status. Jesus didn't live for earthly status. He didn't want it. Herod only lived and wanted earthly status. So who are we like this morning? King Herod the Great ruled Israel from 37 BC till he died in 4 BC. He was king when Jesus was born. And let me summarize his life. Remember, it all happened in the days of Herod the king. What was Herod the king's days like? Well, Herod was one of the world's greatest builders. Though in ruins, his buildings are still among the greatest. As I mentioned, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem is an engineering marvel to this day, unparalleled and unequaled on the planet. No larger building stones, more of them. Now, just north, there's one temple that has one stone a little bit larger, but nobody placed as many as precisely as Herod. Unparalleled. The ruins of Caesarea inspire images of magnificence and awe. Masada still evokes wonder. The Herodian, the fortress-like palace that's down there in Bethlehem, was in its day the third largest and most magnificent palace in the world. And Herod's engineering marvels were unparalleled. He was one of the greatest builders of the world. Secondly, Herod was one of the world's insecurest people. He actually ruled more land than almost any other king had ever ruled in Israel, other than David, Solomon, and Jeroboam. He ruled a massive area. But you know what? He was so afraid. Everyone was against him, and he imagined intrigues, and he was always killing his closest inner circle of advisors. In fact, the emperor of Rome once said, "It is better to be one of Herod's pigs than to be one of his children. The pig would more likely to survive," because Herod was always killing his children, his wives, and his officials. He was so insecure. In fact, he was so afraid of Cleopatra. You ever heard of, you know, Antony and Cleopatra? Cleopatra was into makeup, and the greatest source of ancient makeup and cosmetics was in the Dead Sea around En Gedi. It's still a center in the world today for natural healing cosmetics. And Herod owned that area, the oasis of En Gedi, and Cleopatra down in Egypt wanted it. And so he was always afraid she was going to march up and take his franchise of cosmetics, which, by the way, he used himself because he was so dissipated, he always had to paint his face. And so he was so afraid of Cleopatra that he built a string of fortresses. Caesarea, the fortress at Jerusalem, 10 miles away, the fortress at the Herodian, 10 miles away, the fortress of Masada, 10 miles away, the fortress of Machaerus, and then 30 miles away, his homeland of Edom. He had one that was a quick horse gallop apart. And he always had stabled horses and secret exits so that he could shoot out at the first word of some coup to his fortresses where he could defend himself. He always kept them staffed and manned and armed and prepared. He was one of the world's insecurest people. Thirdly, Herod was one of the world's greatest failures. Though he intended to rival the greatest exploits recorded in the Bible, he only managed to become one of the greatest failures. Why? Because Herod and each of his descendants got closer to Jesus, the gospel, and Christ's apostles and disciples than almost anybody else got to get. And he and all of his family rejected Christ, as far as we know. So close, and yet so far. One of the world's greatest failures. Finally, Herod's life was one of the world's greatest lessons. Just as Herod's building projects towered over the landscape of the Bible lands, Herod cast his shadow across the history and people of Israel. Although Jesus and Herod were vastly different, God engineered history to bring them together at this moment. And what a lesson they provide for us. Today, the awesome projects that Herod built lie in ruins, and most people don't remember him except as the king who tried to kill Jesus and in the process slaughtered all the babies. That's what people remember him for. Herod made his mark on the world and was gone. In contrast, Jesus didn't leave a single building. In fact, we're not really sure the location where he was born or died. They're still contested. There are multiple locations for both of those events. Yet what Jesus did has not passed away. Today he lives. His kingdom has no end. We Christians are his temples. The eternal truth that he revealed remains in our hearts and alive today. No matter how strong and glorious Herod appeared to be, the baby of Bethlehem in the manger was stronger.
You're enjoying the teaching of Dr. John Barnett, pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan. You can learn more about the ministry at discoverthebook.org or just stay tuned till the end of today's program.
No matter how enduring Herod appeared to be, Christ was the true, the strong, the mighty. Well, what are the powerful lessons from the first words of the story of Christmas? The first words of the story of Christmas are, "This happened in the days of Herod the king." What's the powerful lesson God wants us to learn this Christmas? The colossal mistake that Herod made. Herod lived for himself and lost everything. Jesus lived not for himself, but to give his life a ransom for many. And he kept everything. He gained everything. Herod was a colossal failure. The lesson of the tragic life of Herod shows that Herod gained the whole world but lost his own soul. Jesus said this in Matthew 16, "What profit is it for a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" This morning, I want to give you five contrast lessons, okay? And if you want to write them down, here's number one. Herod had it all in this life, and you can have it all in this life and fail in the next. Lesson number one, Herod had it all in this life. And the lesson of that is you can have it all in this life and fail in the next. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what it means about living in the days of Herod the king. There is no greater contrast than those two lives. Herod had all that you can have in this life, and yet he failed to gain what is needed for the next life. Jesus had basically nothing in this life. He had nothing that he owned. At his death, they even took away his clothing and bartered it. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He was supported by others. He was rejected, despised, a man of grief, acquainted with sorrow. We know all the words. Yet he possessed everything. Who do we want to be like? Where are you pointing your life this morning? Are you pointing at Herod's way and trying to get all you can of this life? Or are you pointing at Christ's way and trying to have only what's needed to glorify your Father in this life? You can have it all in this life and fail in the next. That's the lesson of Herod's life. As a general, he was nearly undefeated. As a diplomat, he was unstoppable. As a builder, he was unparalleled. As a businessman, he was unimaginably wealthy. He owned mines. He owned islands out in the Mediterranean where various precious commodities were mined. He was able to support himself on a grand style, with or without the Jews. What a businessman he was. He had it all in this life, but failed for the life to come. Beware of being like Herod, trying to get it all in this life. You can have it, but fail in the life to come. Number two, Herod lived for the earth, not heaven. And if you live for the earth and not heaven, you will lose everything. You know, I brought in my pocket this morning a little treasure. I found this little piece of stone after a big storm on the Mediterranean Sea a few years back, and I was being taken around Herod's palace by an Israeli archaeologist. It was a wonderful thing. I was invited by the Israeli government on a private tour, and they said I could bring my staff, so I took John and Estelle, my staff. And so we went there, and we're ferried around by a special forces guy in a van who was an archaeologist, and he said, I'll show you all of Israel. And so there happened to be a almost hurricane that weekend, and so it had destroyed the visitor center at Caesarea and knocked everything down, but he drove his little thing in to the shore, and we were walking down the shore, and I picked this up, and I said, boy, that's a pretty stone. And he took it out, and he looked at it, and he says, yeah. He said, that's a piece of marble from Herod's palace. I said, it is? He said, yeah. I said, you mean I have a piece of Herod's palace? He says, yeah. He said, yeah. He says, Herod built with marble, and the Romans destroyed it and broke it into millions of pieces and threw it in the ocean. He said, the storm just washed it up on the shore. Boy, that's a treasure to me because it reminds me about Herod's life. Herod lived for the earth, not heaven. And if you live for the earth and not heaven, you will lose everything. And he did. Herod put his treasures in the earth, and they were taken away from him and destroyed. And now we have souvenirs of what it's like to live for yourself. Herod was too earthly-minded to notice the significance of the event of Christ's birth. King Herod personified evil. He no doubt seemed to have all the power and control. He ruled with an iron hand. Yet Jesus, the humble king of all creation, was truly in control. And this is what John says, John 3. Right after the famous verse 16, this is what it says in John 3:19, and this is the verdict, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness instead of the light because their deeds are evil, and everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. John 3:21 says, but whoever lives by the truth that comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Herod wouldn't come into the light. So beware of Herod. Herod lived for the earth, not heaven. And if you live for the earth and not heaven, people will be picking up broken, smashed pieces of your life because you won't take anything with you. You'll leave it all behind. Third truth about Herod. The first one, Herod had it all, but he failed in the life to come. The second truth, he lived for the earth, not heaven, and lost everything. The third truth, Herod had demon faith. Okay? Boy, that's applicable. Listen to this. You can tremble before God and still go to hell. You can be afraid of God and still go to hell. Think about it. Demon faith means God scares you, but you never change. King Herod believed the scriptures. Herod believed God's word enough in that crowded court of Matthew 2 to dispatch the corps of butchers to Bethlehem to slaughter innocent children in hopes of destroying the rival to his throne. Of course, we know he was too late. But all Herod's exposure to God's word made him only tremble. But he never changed. He never turned. He never repented. He never confessed his need. It says in James 2:19, "You believe that there is one God? You do well. The demons also believe and tremble." Herod had demon faith. Beware of being like Herod. You can tremble before God and still be damned. You must come in simple, personal, contrite faith to Jesus Christ and receive what only He can give and have Him take away your sin so you don't die in your sin. Number four, Herod put his faith in himself, his power, his riches, his wealth, and his pleasure. And you can gain the whole world and still lose your own soul. King Herod was more concerned about his crown than his soul. And Jesus said, "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Beware of being like Herod. Herod put his faith in himself. Don't trust in yourself. I talk to people all the time about their souls, and most people just patronizingly put me off and say, "Don't worry, I'll be okay. Don't be concerned about me." They put their faith in themselves. They put their faith in their riches. They put their faith in their wealth, in their pleasure. And you and I can gain the whole world, but we'll lose our souls apart from Christ. Herod put his faith in himself. Finally, number five. Number one, Herod had it all in this life. Number two, Herod lived for the earth, not heaven. Number three, Herod had demon faith. Number four, Herod put faith in himself. Number five, and this is so tragic, Herod missed his chance. Think about it. Herod got as close as you can get and still missed heaven. He had the Magi come and announce the birth of the Messiah. He had the religious leaders come and read to him from the scripture. He had the before him the message of God, the messengers of God. The Messiah himself was 5 miles from his throne. And he never bothered to go seek Jesus Christ. In fact, we don't have time this morning, but I could go with you through all 8 of Herod's relatives. All of them, his son Archelaus beheaded, his son Antipas beheaded John the Baptist. Archelaus was alive during Joseph, Mary, Simeon, Anna, Zacharias, and Elizabeth and rejected it. Philip, his son, ruled over the city that Peter, Andrew, James, and John lived in. He ruled over the Sea of Galilee where Jesus picked his disciples, never bothering to know Jesus. Agrippa the First, his grandson, knew the apostles and killed James the apostle. His granddaughter, Drusilla, sat through and watched the greatest evangelist of all time, Paul's message, and walked away unmoved. His great-grandson, Agrippa II, talked and reasoned with Paul, who told him and made him afraid, and he rejected it. And Bernice, his great-granddaughter, also looked Paul right in the eye, said, "I'm not interested." What's the lesson? Few people came as close to salvation as the Herod family was. Few had so many opportunities to meet the Messiah and hear his teaching. As you read the New Testament, you see the 8 encounters of the Herod family with Jesus. The legacy of Herod the Great is few families in history came as close to Jesus' message as Herod's family. Many members of the ruling family knew Jesus and his followers, yet one after the other, they killed or tried to kill anyone connected to Christ. So beware of being like Herod, getting so close and yet not coming to Christ. Herod had it all in this life. You and I can have it all and fail in the next. Herod lived for the earth, not heaven. If you live for the earth and not heaven, you'll lose everything like Herod did. Herod had demon faith. You can tremble before God and still be damned. Herod put his faith in himself. You can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Herod missed his chance. You can get as close as Herod and still miss heaven. Let's learn the lessons. Because Christ was born in the days of Herod the King.
Thanks, John. Sobering lessons from King Herod. He was a huge success in his life, but failed in the next. He sought things on earth, not things in heaven. He believed the word of God, but didn't respond in obedience. He put his faith in himself and gained the whole world, but lost his soul. And he missed his chance to know Jesus as Savior, and now will only know him as Judge. Don't miss your chance, dear friend. If you have never bowed before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you have put your faith in yourself and your own efforts, you are being given another chance right now. Don't miss it. Make this the most important Christmas of your life. As you remember the birth of the Savior, you can be born again and become part of that everlasting family. We sincerely hope you do that. And we also hope you'll make plans to be right here next time for more special Christmas messages. Don't forget Pastor John's special offer. If you'll log on to the website, discoverthebook.org, make any size donation and tell us which radio station you're listening to when you hear the broadcast, we'll send you an entire collection of Christmas messages on one MP3 CD called The Glory of Christmas. And if you have some questions for Dr. Barnett, if you'd just like to let him know how these messages are impacting you, our email address is radio@dtbm.org. We'd love to hear what God is doing. Or you can call 866-815-2601, 866-815-2601. So until next time, know that we'll be praying that you will, wherever you are on life's journey, discover the book.